Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello again. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK at stevejonesshow.com. Sean Carey here. Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. Our toll-free is 1-800-795-9565. You can also like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at stevejonespsu. After our live shows, our shows are also available as a podcast. You can go to either stevejonesshow.com, our show webpage, or you can subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast on both Apple Podcast, the Apple Podcast app, or iTunes, or Google Play. And if you listen to us on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app, do not hesitate to leave us a review. All right, we're getting closer to the Belmont Stakes coming up, part three of the Triple Crown this Saturday in New York. Lafitte Pincai III, horse racing reporter for NBC Sports, will be joining us. Lafitte will be part of NBC's telecast of the 149th Belmont Stakes this Saturday. Airtime will be 5 p.m. Eastern on NBC. NBC also with the Stanley Cup final the rest of the way. And last night it was 4-1. Nashville evening up the best of seven at two games apiece. Pekka Rinne is back in play. That was one of the things that we brought up on yesterday's show, is the goal play. Who's the better goalie? Well, for sure, it's been Pekka Rinne for the last game and a half. But when you have that high expectation for Matt Murray, game in and game out, and you just have those split-second moments here or there when your defensemen have a hiccup or two, well, it can pay dividends for the opposite team. And that happened last night for sure. There's at least three or four breakaway attempts that the Pens had last night that they could not convert. Preds did. And that was the difference in last night's game. So now we got a best of three. And game five of the Stanley Cup final will be on Thursday night. Back in Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena. And Josh Getzoff, the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network, pre- and post-game host. He'll be joining us a little later on today as well, so we'll get some more hockey talk in. Also, we do have scheduled for tomorrow, speaking of hockey talk, Greg Wyshynski. He is a writer on the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports. So we had Greg on last Friday, but about halfway through the conversation, his cell phone ran out of juice. So we got back in touch with Greg, and we will have him on the show tomorrow. Get him set up for tomorrow at 4:06 live here on WKOK on the Steve Jones Show. Also a little over a week away from U.S. Open Golf, so we'll be lining up some golf analysts between now and First Tee next Thursday, as the Golf Grand Slam will get back underway, the first one since the Masters, of course, from a little over 2 months ago. 1-800-795-9565, way to contact us, 800-795-9565, and our email, stevejones@wkok.com. Be with you till 5 live here on WKOK, then we'll have our late day news roundup. And then, of course, tonight we will have Phillies baseball for you here on WKOK. How about the Phillies with a 3-game winning streak? Phillies now 20-35 on the year. They continue their series down in Atlanta tonight. 7 o'clock will be pregame tonight, and first pitch 7:35 tonight here on WKOK. So we'll take a quick break. Steve's on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio as we speak. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So again, we'll have Lafine Pinkai the third joining us at 3:35 today. We'll talk Belmont Stakes, and then next hour Josh gets off from the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network as we set up the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Lafine Pinkai the third on the show today. Talked to him about the Belmont. Second straight year after getting a Triple Crown winner in 2015 for the first time in 37 years. We're going to have the second straight year where all three races are going to be won by a different horse. And then Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network is going to join us today to attempt to explain what we've watched the last two games. The Predators won last night 4-1. I don't know what was better, the game or Charles Barkley between periods.
He was very entertaining, that's for sure. Well, you nailed it.
I sat there. I laughed.
Well, you nailed it on the show yesterday involving goalie play and Pekka Rinne. He has really, really came through for the Preds the last game and a half, and especially that little quick phase in the second period last night where he stopped three shots and it had to have been under 3 seconds.
Well, that was an amazing sequence.
It was.
He played great last night, but I want to point out something very quickly about that. He played great, but he also played great on a night where he saw 23 shots. He didn't see 43 shots. He saw 23 shots. The Penguins need to put more pucks on the net. You know, you can't always make the perfect play. You can't. And it seems sometimes that the Penguins are always looking to make that extra, and I appreciate the extra pass very much. I really do. It's unselfish. But at the same time, you know, you can't score unless you put the puck on the net. Gino Malkin had a game last night where he just sat back and said, okay, was he there? Phil Kessel's had an entire series of that. And Kessel's a goal scorer. May not be conventional in some of the things he does, and I'm not sure if he runs all the same plays as everybody else does, but Crosby played great. I mean, Crosby's a star, and he played like a star. So,
well, that's kind of what I was thinking Saturday night going into the first game in Nashville. Yes, Pittsburgh can score first. They can at least attempt to quiet the crowd a little bit. Well, then sure. Last night, you know, Sid evens it up. All right, great. Our captain now, he's got his game going on. That's got to fire up the rest of the guys. But, boy, we're now up to, overall, we're up to game 105 for the Pens. You're kind of wondering if they're starting to physically wear out or if it's maybe getting into a mental kind of game. But we sure know for sure.
It's more than that. It's more than that. I think you bring up an interesting point. Here's the point about that. You have to think about it. And I've discussed this before with LeBron James. How many games has LeBron James played in the last 8 years?
Now, let's see. He's been in every final the last seven years.
Right. He's been in every final the last 7 years. Plus, he played in the 2008 Olympics, and he played in the 2012 Olympics. All right? Didn't play in 16. He has essentially played three seasons in his career. I think he's played three seasons now. Or maybe two extra seasons. He's like played like two extra seasons of basketball the last 10 years. Crosby, Malkin, all the Penguins won the Stanley Cup last year. And then, after winning the Stanley Cup, which means they played deep into June, a bunch of them came back and they played in the World Cup of Hockey in September. Then started the regular season. And now they're back in the final again. The Penguins have played exponentially more hockey than any of the Predators have. I mean, way more. I mean, the Penguins played, what, 105 playoff games last year, plus, you know, a lot of the teams like Crosby and Malkin, I mean, their teams made deep runs of the World Cup of Hockey in September. I mean, they got July and August off. That's what the Penguins got off, was July and August. That was it. And so I'm wondering the same thing as you. I'm wondering if fatigue, and look, a player would never admit it. Never would admit fatigue. Never. But I'm wondering if it's playing a role. I'm wondering if it's playing a role. We'll find out. Also, Nashville hasn't won in Pittsburgh yet either. Game 5 is in Pittsburgh. So, again, we'll see. But I think of the 240 minutes that have been played in this series so far, the Penguins have probably had the better of it for maybe 80 to 100. Nationals had the better of it than the other ones. But you do bring up a good point. And I've talked about this with LeBron James. But again, because you have great players on your team, by having great players on your team, it also means they end up playing for their country. So, you know, that means playing in the Olympics and things like that. That's why I'm all, believe me, I think the NHL's already said they're not playing in the Olympics next year. Bravo. Yeah, we're going to take all our players, we're going to ship them to South Korea. No. So that, I mean, that's, again, when you have great players and the Penguins have great players, they're going to play extra games because they're going to play for their country. So they make a deep run last year. They get July, most of August off. Then they have to play the World Cup of Hockey in September. Then they play the regular season. Now they're back in the final again. That's a lot to play. And LeBron James has been in this role for a while now because LeBron James, until 2016, he had played in 3 straight Olympiads, 4, 8, and 12. Plus, he's been in the final 7 straight years. He's played more basketball than anybody.
I didn't realize this, too. LeBron, the age differential between LeBron James and Steph Curry is only 3 years. But, of course, LeBron jumps right into the NBA out of high school. Steph played, what, 3 years at Davidson?
3 years at Davidson.
So, and, yeah, I mean, just factor in what LeBron has gone through. I mean, he plays... who knows when the last time he played less than 45 minutes a game, just with all the bruising and battering that he takes.
Oh, no question. Oh, no question. He's played a couple, 3 more seasons in his career just in the playoffs. That's a lot. That is a lot. And I think that the... you know, fatigue does enter into it. Somebody asked LeBron about being tired the other night. You know, he's played more basketball games than anybody else in the world in the last 7 years. You know, he didn't go to the media room. Ooh, there's a sin. First time in forever he's never gone to the media room. Ooh. Wow. Like, he fulfills every obligation all the time. I guess he got a little surly the other night. I mean, it's not like you and I haven't encountered that with the suit. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, not that it's a day-in, day-out kind of deal.
The suit gets surly. It does.
Well, you bring up LeBron. I mean, look what he did last week before the finals started. I mean, he took a big chunk of his press conference and talked about an issue that's currently a big concern with a lot of people in this country instead of just talking about basketball, which he could have easily done, but he didn't do that.
Right. No, he didn't. Now, I also want to point out, though, that the schedule has been conducive to them not being tired. Would they have a week off before they started the finals?
I lost track of a week off. It felt more like 2 weeks.
It may have been like, what, 8 days? 8-9 days before they started the final, they had time off. And this is not exactly a taxing schedule in the final. You know, you're riding in Oakland, you play the opener on Thursday, you got Friday, Saturday, and you play Sunday. And when do they play again? Wednesday?
Tomorrow night, yes, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. First one in Cleveland.
So they'll play Monday, travel, do whatever today, and then they play Wednesday. And then they play, Friday? If needed? That'd be game four. So this is not a taxing schedule. This is not one of those. This is not the 7-game NBA road trip that you get, which is brutal. That's why I do understand why players do need time off during the season. I understand that. My point has always been, if you're going to give them time off, there should be something built in where they don't get time off for a team from the opposite conference on the road. In other words, it's our one trip into Sacramento this year. We're going to give LeBron the night off. Well, it's the only chance that the fans of Sacramento get a chance to see him. See my point? If you want to rest him at home. Or, you know what, we've got those games with the Knicks. We play them, what, 4 times? Yeah, you miss one at Madison Square Garden, so what? I do understand they need rest. The suit walked down the hall the other day, exhausted. Plus the emotions of the week. I mean,
yeah.
He's going to be so much more emotional than Suit Light about the graduation because Friday night's about him.
That's what I heard too. Yeah.
You know what word came to mind when I heard that?
Dollar General.
Sad. Bet that kid wants to go to Cal State Fullerton now.
Where ceilings grow. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Before, one of the funnier ones I heard. Monty Python do is when they get to the argument and the other one just starts calling him all sorts of vile names, and he says, that's what kind of argument is that? He goes, well, this isn't an argument, this is abuse. He goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Argument's 2 doors down. All of a sudden, it gets really nice. All right. Very pleased to be joined by somebody who's, I think, just outstanding. Lafitte Penkai will be part of NBC's telecast of the 149th Belmont Stakes this Saturday at 5 p.m. on NBC. And he worked the Pennsylvania Derby last year with my basketball broadcast partner, Dick Girardi. And Dick told me nothing but awesome things about you. Lafitte, welcome. It's great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it. How are you? Yeah, Girardi, he is the best. And look forward to covering that Pennsylvania Derby with him this fall once again.
Yeah, that looks great. I want to talk, this will be the second straight year we're going to end up with 3 different winners of the Triple Crown. How do you evaluate where the sport is right now?
I think that every year the sport needs and benefits from that shot in the arm when the same horse that wins the Kentucky Derby wins the Preakness, and you have a bid on a Triple Crown. I find it, call it ironic or coincidental, that as significant as New York racing is, and as many huge races that take place in New York every year, the biggest race on New York's calendar takes place in Maryland, in the Preakness. Because that defines how significant that Belmont is going to be. The only race in North America bigger than a Kentucky Derby is a Belmont Stakes with a Triple Crown on the line. As always, you know, the horse racing is not the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball in that we don't have our superstars to lean on as long. We'll be able to follow Bryce Harper for another 10, 12 years. It's been LeBron James since he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a rookie, and here he is however many years later. Michael Jordan, these superstars have longevity. That's the challenge horse racing faces on a continuous level, is that you have to go back and start from zero. Even American Pharoah, in terms of mainstream, nobody cared about American Pharoah until he won the Kentucky Derby. In the industry, in horse racing, yeah, sure. So then we had him for 6 months, as opposed to another sport where you have a superstar who you can watch, follow for years and years and years.
It's also interesting that this is a mile and a half. It literally is once around the track. But over the years, you've had some jockeys that have misjudged the length of the stretch run. So give me an importance of a jock understanding animal, but also track and what that means.
It's significant. And no matter how many times you've been to Belmont Park, every time I see it, I'm probably there 2-3 times a year, and every time I see it, I'm still taken aback at how big the track is. Mile and a half in circumference. You know, Tom Hammond, for years and years during the course of the NBC Belmont broadcast, would always point out that if you turned the grandstand on its side, the grandstand at Belmont Park would be taller than the Empire State Building. It is a massive racetrack. And Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens has always said, at every other racetrack, there are certain points where you think it's time to move. You think it's time to ask your horse for his or her best. At Belmont Park, when you think it's time, you have to wait a couple more beats, a couple more seconds, and then make your move. Because the history of the Belmont Stakes is, in fact, littered with jockeys that have made the mistake, pulled the trigger too early, and then paid the price late. So, yeah, for the handicappers, there is something to be said for a jockey who is more familiar to Belmont Park, who calls Belmont Park home the rest of the year.
Because I think there was one year, I may have been on Real Quiet, I thought Kent DeSermo misjudged the stretch, and Pat Day did not.
It was a bob of the nose, and yeah, he's been criticized for that, for costing Real Quiet a Triple Crown for, you know, since 98. But, you know, the jump before the wire, his nose was in front, and the jump after the wire, his nose was in front. It was a dirty, dirty bob. It was one of those things like you felt the horse racing gods were involved. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Ronnie Franklin on Spectacular Bid or Stuart Elliott on Smarty Jones, it's a difficult gauge. Did the horse run out of fume, third race in 5 weeks and longest race at a mile and a half, or did the jockey make a mistake? Tough call.
All right, so that gets us now to, there are some horses in here, including the favorite, that are going to try for the three races in 5 weeks. When you've talked to trainers, Lafitte, what has there been a common denominator as to how they want to handle three and five, or is it has to be done by feel?
This is why you have horses prepping less before the Kentucky Derby. In years past, a horse would have 3, 4, 5 races leading up to the Kentucky Derby. Now the trend is to train a little bit lighter, race a little bit less, so you have a fresher horse for the Triple Crown. It's been 2 preps. That's the current trend. But everybody goes all in for the Kentucky Derby. There isn't a jockey, trainer, breeder, owner on the planet that wouldn't trade 10 of any other individual race for one Kentucky Derby. So you're all in for the Derby. And then it's a matter of what you have left. You know, Todd Pletcher was the first to say with Always Dreaming after he won the Kentucky Derby, we're only running in the Preakness because he won the Kentucky Derby. Right. He doesn't like the quick two-week turnaround. And much like Pletcher's first Kentucky Derby winner, Super Saver, Always Dreaming disappointed and faded to finish eighth. So there is something to be said about the time in between races, which is why you have less horses exiting the Derby that take part in the Preakness. Most trainers would rather take a step back, regroup. If you didn't win in the Kentucky Derby, all right, now we point towards the Belmont Stakes with five races, 5 weeks in between. Or in the case of Always Dreaming, or in the case of Preakness winner Cloud Computing with Todd Pletcher, Chad Brown, Cloud Computing's trainer, they're just going to shut it down completely and point towards a summer campaign at Saratoga.
The Belmont is also famous, Lafitte, for fresh legs getting into the race. And fresh legs have normally done pretty well at the Belmont. What are a couple of horses that you are looking at saying, fresh legs, I find them intriguing? Who would that be?
Twisted Tom is the only horse making his Triple Crown debut in the Belmont that I give a shot of the fresh Triple Crown blood. I don't think the others making their Triple Crown debuts are good enough, talented enough, fast enough. Twisted Tom, though, and I think the Belmont Stakes, we rely on pedigree bloodlines more so than any other race. Not okay. that horses today are really bred for a mile and a half, but the horses that are bred for longer distances, you really lean on that for the Belmont. And I think it's going back like four generations or something on Twisted Tom's mother's side, not to get too inside baseball. It's loaded with Belmont winners. So the Belmont blood is there with Twisted Tom. And if you see that hitting can become contagious in a lineup in baseball, winning can become contagious in a stable. And Chad Brown is hitting, I think, at 33% at Belmont Park. And for this same owner, he just won the Preakness Stakes with Cloud Computing. So you have that momentum going with Chad Brown. So if you're looking for a new face and those fresh legs, Twisted Tom would be the horse.
Now, a new face, and I don't know how fresh the legs are. It's Ipacaris, who, of course, I believe is run in Japan. I want to say Dubai. I think I'm right about that.
Yeah.
What the horse just got out of quarantine. How much do we know about it?
I give him a big chance. I'd be using him in the exotics. I'm not picking him on top. I loved his effort in the Dubai race. That was his only loss. I know that he is as impressive as a physical specimen as you'll see in a racehorse. Someone I work with, her name is Zoe Cadman. She was back in Dubai for the Dubai World Cup that Arrowgate won, and she also saw Ipacaris in the UAE Derby, and she was just taken aback about how incredibly what a beautiful racehorse he is. And the fact that they could have run in the Kentucky Derby, but when he got back to Japan after Dubai, they felt he was still a little, call it jet lag for a racehorse, that he hadn't fully recovered. And all along they've been pointing at the Belmont Stakes specifically. Last year, not that it has anything to do with Ipacaris, but last year you had a Japanese horse, Lonnie, run third in the Belmont Stakes. We did see a European win the Belmont by the name of Go and Go. I think that was back in the early 90s at some point. I think if you're looking again for that fresh leg angle and just from a talent standpoint, if you believe this crop of three-year-olds and these horses going to the Belmont Stakes are a cut below what we've seen in the past and some of the best crops we've seen in recent memory, then maybe it is time for a fresh face who we haven't seen. Maybe it is a chance for a foreign invader to make his presence felt. It's a lot to ask, the traveling, the quarantine, but the ability, the talent is there to contend.
Lafitte, what is a race day like for you? You're going to get ready for a broadcast, do a broadcast. So what are the nuts and bolts for you as to what a day like that is like?
Oh, you have to. It's all the preparation and talking to trainers, talking to owners, talking to jockeys, understanding all the storylines, obviously. Just like getting ready for any other event in any other sport, there's a lot of excitement when you wake up that morning on Derby Day, Preakness Day, Belmont Day, Breeders' Cup Day. You're going to be documenting history in the sport of thoroughbred racing. And for me, it's always you just want to get started. You just want to get the ball rolling. You want the show to start. You have a lot of meetings, and there's a lot of hurry up and wait, and it's just the waiting. I think you hear that from athletes often when you have those 2 weeks, for example, for a football player in between a conference championship game and then the Super Bowl. It's like, let's just kick this thing off already and get it started. that's when you kind of settle in and feel comfortable and find that groove, is understanding that you're so excited to be part of such a monumental occasion. A Belmont Stakes, for example, with a Triple Crown on the line, I remember the first time I covered one was California Chrome, and I didn't sleep much the night before. You're so excited, not just as someone who's going to be working on the show, but as a racing fan as well. You'll never forget where you were when American Pharoah crossed the wire to win the Belmont Stakes to become the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years a couple of years ago. That's what gets you up in the morning. It's what gets your blood pumping and why we fall in love with the sport to begin with. But yeah, this will be, I've covered a lot of Belmont Stakes, and I'm just as excited to cover this one as I have it. Again, it's not the Triple Crown, but it's still an American classic and one of the most important races on the North American racing calendar.
One final question, Lafitte. I'll let you go after that. Thank you so much for your time today. The audience is really enjoying this. And that deals with when American Pharoah won 2 years ago. Dick Girardi said to me, he said, that's the story of my entire career I've always wanted to write, because he had not covered a Triple Crown winner. So when you look back on that 5 weeks, what will always stand out to you because it was a slice of history that rarely happens?
I think that, if there's a positive, that Nyquist didn't follow up the Derby win with the Preakness win last year, or Always Dreaming this year, it's that the knee-jerk reaction would have been, well, how hard could it possibly be? You know, two horses, or two of the last 3 years we've seen Triple Crown winners. I think we're learning all over again, just in a couple of years, how truly difficult it is, and that it is one of the most difficult achievements in all of sports. I think that American Pharoah will go down as it's so difficult to compare horses of yesteryear to modern-day racehorses. You can't compare a Secretariat to an American Pharoah. I think Secretariat will always be regarded as the greatest racehorse that ever lived. But at risk of sounding a little, you know, cliche or cheesy or whatever, it was magic. It really was special, those 5 weeks. You could see Bob Baffert just growing more and more confident in how American Pharoah was coming along. And we had been down that road so many times, only to be disappointed so many times. The two previous Triple Crown attempts before American Pharoah, one of them ran last in Big Brown. The next didn't make the race. I'll Have Another was injured the day before the Belmont Stakes, which, by the way, being in the trailer for NBC and getting ready for that broadcast, and getting the news that I'll Have Another was not good, it was like everybody was kicked in the stomach. Yeah, it was just, Have just sucked the wind out of the room. It was just brutal. So then when it came around to American Pharoah and California Chrome being so close the year before, you know, you feel like Charlie Brown after Lucy, you know, pulls the football back. We got so excited, and then another letdown. And there were a lot of people that truly felt three races in 5 weeks, it'll never happen again. And with that in the back of your mind, and will you ever see a Triple Crown again, Dick Girardi always wanting to write that story. Yeah, you're never going to forget where you were, the emotion, and how you felt watching not only American Pharoah cross the wire, Victor Espinosa raising his whip, a brilliant call from track announcer Larry Colmus, but strangers embracing and jumping up and down, and like Belmont, heart was shaking, and it went on for several minutes. You were part of history.
Lafitte, thanks so much for the time you gave us today. Really enjoyed the conversation a lot. We'd wanted to get you on for a long time, and now you can see why we wanted to. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Anytime. Tell Dick he's the best. And if you have some spare change laying around, look out for Taprit for Todd Pletcher on Saturday in the Belmont.
We've etched that one down. Thank you.
All right.
Lafitte Pinkai, he'll be part of NBC's telecast of the 149th Belmont Stakes this Saturday at 5 p.m. on NBC. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all
applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Lafitte Pinkai III. You can tell he's a big sports fan. He's not just a horse racing guy. Baseball references, Bryce Harper. Football references, time off between playoff games. You can tell Lafitte is a big sports guy. He is not just a horse racing guy. There's just certain people along the way I've wanted to get on the show, and he's always been one of them. Another one that we're trying to get on the show, and we'll get him at some point. Maybe it'll be after the U.S. Open, whatever, but Brandel Chamblee. Why? Why do I want Brandel Chamblee on the show? A, he's really good at what he does. Right? Really good at what he does. And he isn't afraid to pull. He doesn't pull punches. He doesn't pull punches. You know, he doesn't sit there and look at a golfer and say the golfer stinks or whatever. But, you know, he'll bring up certain things like, you know, are you playing to win or you're playing for FedEx points? I mean, what are you playing for here? That's fair. It's a fair question to ask. You know, so we're trying, for example, trying to get him on the show. I think we're in good shape to get Matt Catrillo on, right? I think we're good there, right?
You betcha.
Football
season. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. You may even hear from Matt on the show sooner than that. You know, you never know.
Yeah, it's true. It might.
Mm-hmm.
And
I talked to Matt about that. I talked to Matt about that this morning, ironically enough.
Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I've been trying to push for Matt to get the Shikellamy job. I think it's feel like it's a crown jewel.
Over 2.5 months to go. We got time.
No, it's fine. There's, I mean, you know, if cash is needed, I'll front it. I'm just thinking of the fans.
Hey, well, take care of those other checks you got to do first here.
Oh yeah,
get them out of the way first.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Yeah, it's. I was told I had one job. And that one job included writer's cramp.
Well, it's funny. When I was talking to Steve during our first commercial breakup. Steve's on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio. No problem. No big deal. And I said, hey, you got in a little bit of the traffic jam. Better today than on Saturday. So.
And I said, well, I don't think they can start without me. So, unless they're going to just draw lots and have somebody else walk her down the aisle. It's only Jack Ham's filling in. Hey, great. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, but B-team, that's not bad. Hey, that's not bad. Yeah, that's a good call to the bullpen right there.
I think that's what she wants. Can Uncle Jack do it? Yeah, Uncle Jack could do it. Sure, that'd be great.
If she asks you that at the rehearsal dinner Friday night, shoot me a text. Let me know.
Well, today I'm driving in here. You know, and there's one of those oversized load trucks that has beams on it. And I had to stop and wait while he backed into whatever he was backing into. And believe me,
23-point turn.
Well, let me put you this way. It felt like it was the first attempt was not the last attempt. The second attempt was not the last attempt. Third attempt, he finally got it. But I felt like I was a hostage waiting. What are we doing here? Oh, goodness gracious. Georgia State's going to be a night game at 7:30 on the final weekend of summer, officially. BTN is going to carry it. somebody asked me, why would BTN pick that for a night game? I said, well, look at the first 2 weeks. BTN doesn't have Penn State on at all. That's their first chance to get them. They want them in prime time.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.